In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A quick question. You know, I like questions. It's a quick one, not a trick one. It says, any Jesus followers here today? Well, good. That's good. So the good news is this message is specifically for you. We're in this portion of Luke in within chapter 6. We've heard the sort of the blessings and the woes to the larger group of people, but something is shifting in this portion of the gospel today, immediately following that. And Jesus is speaking to those who have chosen to listen to Jesus. And so he begins, he says, but I say to you that listen. He is speaking to those who are maybe have heard his teaching and decided, I think I'll stick around. He's speaking to those who have been following with him, his disciples. And he says, but I say to you that listen. And he begins this lesson on love. And it seems almost impossible for us. And it would have seemed impossible to those who were hearing it as he was speaking it also. But he's really pointing to how he expects those who listen to love. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And that's extreme, isn't it? So the point is being made, the love of God is extreme. And those who proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior are claiming to be on a journey to be Christ-like, to move in this world as Jesus moved in this world. And we, at this side of the cross, empowered by his Holy Spirit, are to be seeking this depth of love for his people. A depth of love that honestly makes almost no sense. And especially living in the world in which we live. As I was reading this, having spent the majority of my life in the South of sorts, Florida used to be a little more south than it is now, if you know what I mean, since most of the folks here came from up north. But we used to be a little more southern. And this phrase kept running through my head as I was going over this lesson, and it was, bless your heart. And I thought, well, doesn't that really kind of lay it out? So I know most of you have been in the South long enough to know what that means or what it could mean. It may actually mean bless your heart, but it's how you say it, isn't it? Now, if somebody's having a rough day and they're just crumbling in your arms, it's like, oh, bless your heart. But when you do something that is just wrong or you don't seem to have it together in the eyes of the other person, they're like, oh, bless your heart. That means something else, doesn't it? Yeah, I think we all get that. And then we live in this world where we're just sort of, and we even have gone through phases in society bless your heart. That's really just tolerance, isn't it? I mean, that's not necessarily love. That's just the way in which we kind of go, okay, I'm going to set this person over here because I just can't look at it anymore. And we're not going to be mean about it. We're just going to make this comment, and we're just going to move on. So I have a phrase of my own when I'm tired and frustrated. I just go, driving down the road, somebody runs me off to the side or whatever. You know how it goes. Usually it's merging around here that doesn't go well. In my mind, I'm saying, God's precious children. I'm really not thinking how precious they are. Love is not what's happening in my heart at that moment. But God is saying through Jesus, we are hearing this message, he wants us to really love. Even our enemies, even those who persecute us, those who steal from us, those who offend us, those who do all these things to us, and he's saying, your response is love. My love. And then we live in this world that says, oh, bless your heart. This world that for a period of time used the word tolerance like it was a good thing. We need to be tolerant. No, we need to love. Tolerance isn't love. Tolerance is actually something that creates distance. If I tolerate carrots in my soup, I tolerate the dog that lives behind me barking. That's easier to do when I can take my hearing aids out and go to bed. I tolerate people doing things that I'm not in agreement with. But that's not what I'm supposed to do, is it? What I'm supposed to do is love. If I'm tolerating, that just means I don't agree with you and I think you're wrong, and as a result of that, I will just tolerate you, which does not bring us anywhere near one another, does it? Tolerance is putting up with. And now our society is moving from this concept of tolerance to what we like to now call cancel culture. I don't know if you're aware of this, that's the wrong direction. Yeah, we were almost better off tolerating one another. Now, if somebody doesn't do what we want, or they've done something to offend us, we get as many people we can that are upset and offended by the same thing, and we get the world to push them into oblivion. I think this is a wonderful feature of, shockingly, what we call social media. And now we have cancel culture. So I think today, brothers and sisters, those who hear, we need to begin to hear what's happening in our world, because I'm not seeing progress. I'm seeing us fading back when it comes to this concept. What I'm hearing is, if you don't agree with me, I don't care about you. And Jesus is saying that we are supposed to have a love that is so radical that we should be loving the people who hate us, the people who even abuse us, the people who take from us, the people who tolerate us, and the people who maybe try to cancel us. Our response is to be loving, not tolerant. We are supposed to love them at such a level that in which Jesus loves us, the way in which he loves us is at such a level that he has come so close to you and you allow him so close to you. He knows all your secrets, doesn't he? And he knows what moves you, and he knows what's at the root of your brokenness, amen? And that is how he loves you. See, Jesus loves us in our brokenness. That Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, that's good. We should hold on to that. But we need to grow into the depth of it. If you want to truly understand the depth of God's love and the forgiveness we have received through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, fall to your knees before him and open the fullness of your heart, even the darkest corners of it, your greatest flaws, speak them out to him. You want to feel his love? That's where you'll feel it. I didn't get to where I am in my spiritual journey because I thought this wonderful, friendly relationship with Jesus was just so glorious. And I make the joke all the time about this wonderful Jesus who we go skipping through the field with and the butterflies flying around, and you know, I don't know that Jesus. The Jesus I know came to me when I was so broken and so lost and so finally willing to just open my heart to him and say, I'm a mess. I can remember the first moment, literally on the ground, pressed to the ground, weeping, bearing my soul to God. And sitting and waiting, and then physically feeling a lifting up of my body, mind, and soul. In my deepest moment, in the sorrow of my sin, that is where God loves me most. And that's what he calls us to do. So when that person who is out in the world doing things that are so offensive, we can tolerate them. We can attempt to cancel them. Or we could love them in the depth of their brokenness and begin to discover the image of God that's under there somewhere. See, that changes things. Just like the love of God has changed us who listen. He calls us to love that way in this world with all of his precious children, to love the same way, to love like he has loved us. Isn't that what we want? And we kind of play it off a little bit, but he knows we do. Even at this moment, verse 32, he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. He goes, no, he goes further in. He goes, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And for that, he says, your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And don't we know that? Wasn't he kind to us? Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. He says this to you that listen. That is a love that I am incapable of on my own. I can only love like that, when I am so connected to the source of this greatest love, that he is indwelling me. And then his love can come through me. I couldn't even begin to dream of loving like that on my own. On my own, the best I can do is bless your heart. But with the power of God indwelling me, I can love someone at such a level that their brokenness fades to the side, their actions fade to the side, their brokenness comes forward. And with his words coming from my mouth, I may have the hope of speaking in a way that can begin to heal their heart. And then they become transformed as we have been transformed, not because of us, but because of the very presence of God that indwells us. And just in case that wasn't enough, this passage ends with judging. Should be an Olympic sport. I would excel at it. And he says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. And our society tells us the opposite. If somebody judges you, you judge them. If somebody condemns you, you condemn them. And then it goes a step further, by the way. If you judge somebody that you deem worthy of judgment, they do not have the right to do the same to you. If you condemn someone that you deem worthy of condemnation, they do not have the right to do the same to you. Brothers and sisters, none of us hold that right. Jesus himself did not condemn us, the one who knows the depth of our brokenness and our sinfulness. He forgave. And he says to us today, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. We, as a faith community, speak constantly to our mission, transforming lives, transforming the world. Sometimes we change it. I don't know if you've noticed. Transformed lives, transforming the world. These lives, you that here, are lives that need to be transformed first. If we are going to have any success of carrying out the mission given to us of transforming this world. We need to remember our own transformation. We need to remember those moments, like the moment I have had and hopefully you have had. And if you haven't, I suggest you get into your quiet place on your knees and bare your soul to God and feel the weight of your sin so that you can feel his love lift it. I tell you, there is nothing like it. A young man at a retreat, wandering off in the woods like he was told to do with his Bible, found weeping in the sand. And then able to stand and taller than I've ever stood in my life. Based on the one clear understanding that even knowing the fullness of my sinfulness, God loved me there. Not because I did good, but because with him I was able to admit how bad I was. And he said to me, not in my eyes. And then he took me in his arms and said, bless your heart, my precious child. That transforms. And he calls us to walk with the broken even when they are abusing us, and to see beyond their actions, to see their heart. And given the opportunity, he will give us the words. And we may just find ourselves holding another as they weep and whispering in their ear from our heart, which will be his, bless your heart, precious child of God. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a question for you today. I know that's unusual. Do we have any followers of Jesus here today? All right, we even got a cheer. Excellent. Now, it's important we know that because we're in this Gospel of Luke, we're traveling our way through it, and we have had this moment, the sort of the blessings and the woes that we heard last week, where Jesus is sort of speaking to a larger crowd. Now, some have heard what he's saying, and his disciples are there alongside of him, and he's shifting gears just a little bit. So the first thing that we hear in the passage is, "But I say to you that listen." See, he is speaking to those who have chosen to hear his teachings. So you just admitted to that, so that's a good thing. But we also know if we have chosen to hear his teachings, sometimes he teaches us things that we're not really sure what to do with. But this message is for the church today. When I say the church, I mean the church whole. Holy Innocents included. So he says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." That is a pretty intense level of love, isn't it? To love your enemies. Those who hate you, those who persecute you, those who steal from you, those who abuse you. And the answer that Jesus is giving to those who are listening is love them. Love them. That is a deep and abiding love that I cannot come to on my own. And it doesn't help that we live in a world that says things just a little differently, doesn't it? So as I was going through this passage in preparation, the one phrase kept coming through my mind. I have lived in Florida the majority of my life, with a few stints to other places I hope never to return to. But the concept of, please God, not back there. But I don't do cold. But so having lived in Florida a long time, Florida at one point was the South. But it's not now. It's different. We have to go north to get to the South to find a Southerner. But there's this wonderful phrase that kept running through my mind as I was reading all of this, and it was, "Bless your heart." Now, we've all heard that, right? Now, that can mean, "Bless your heart." Or it could mean, "Are you serious? Did you really just say that? Did you really just do that?" And rather than look at the person and say, "I find you unacceptable and your behavior is unacceptable," we go, "Bless your heart." I have my own little phrase. I'll use it often in traffic. Merging. I'm not sure why this got complicated in life, merging. Your lane is ending. There's giant arrows painted on the ground in front of you. There's signs telling you your lane's disappearing. And strangely, people don't grasp the concept. I don't know why this bothers me, but it does. So often somebody will come rushing up and cut in front of me, and I'm just like, "Ah, God's precious children." I do not think that person's precious at all. But that's what I say. And if I say that to you, you should ask clarity. But that's the world we live in, amen? That doesn't sound like what Jesus is teaching us today. And then we live in this world where every time I turned around for a period of time, I was being told that we need to be tolerant of one another. It never sat well with me. Tolerating someone doesn't sound quite like it's making the mark. I tolerate carrots in my soup. I tolerate the neighbor's barking dog. Which is easier to do when I remove my hearing aids and go to bed. I tolerate people who don't agree with me, sometimes. But what I can't do with someone that I'm tolerating is connect deeply with them. Because just by the simple fact of tolerating them, I've driven a stake in the ground and said, "You don't come past this mark, and I won't come past this mark." And Jesus seems to be saying something different today. And now our society has moved into a new phase that has this wonderful term called cancel culture. That means if someone disagrees with you or your ideals, you have the right to gather as many other people as possible to eliminate them from society, or at least social media, which is such a peculiar name. I think we need to work on that. That, brothers and sisters, is worse than tolerating. And again, doesn't sound anything like what Jesus is trying to teach us today. I think, unfortunately, for me, I know, when I am thinking of those phrases, I am within myself and functioning within my own abilities to love, which apparently are very limited. But with the love of God, which I have received, and when I am connected to that love of God, and recognize that he literally indwells me as one who listens, his love can actually come out of me. At the levels in which he's asking us to love, we tend to fail. And he seems to know that. Oh, not only do we fail, we justify. We justify our behaviors. Jesus goes on in his teaching, verse 32 of chapter 6. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. That's kind of that moment in where we know in our heart that person who just cut you off isn't precious to you at that moment, and we just say, ah, God's precious child. And we know full well we're not thinking at all precious. It's just a nicer word than what we're thinking. And neither of them are love. So God challenges us. Through Jesus' teaching today, we are being told to live into this love that is almost beyond our comprehension. But that is what we're called to do, because that is what we have received. And if you don't know that, find out. I know how I know the depth of God's love, because I came to know the depth of his love when I was unlovable, and he loved me. I remember well, far too well, being a much younger man on a retreat and sent out to wander in the woods with our Bibles, and I found myself on my knees weeping over my sin. The worst of it, which I pray you'll never know, weeping on the ground, unable to stand. And I sat in it, and I could barely breathe. And then I could feel my God pick me up, holding me, and saying, bless your heart. You are precious. In the worst of it, the worst moment of my life, finally sitting with the worst of who I was and who I am, the most sinful I have been, I sat in that before God. And that, brothers and sisters, is where I felt the love, the fullness of God's love. Not because I was good enough, not because I did the right thing, not because I showed up where I was supposed to show up, but because I recognized how broken and sinful and wretched I was. In that moment, God came and said, I love you. even though I know right now you don't love yourself. And then he says to us, Jesus says to us today, I want you to move through this world with that love. That love that allows you to see that person who is persecuting you, coming against you, stealing from you. I want you to look at them the way I look at you, and I want you to see beyond their actions, and I want you to see their heart, which is from me, and I want you to be able to recognize that what is happening and the way in which they're moving is a result of their brokenness and their sin, and I want you to stand with them, and I want you to walk with them, and I want you to love them. I want you to be with them like I've been with you. And Jesus continues in his teaching. He goes, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And don't we know that? Don't we know that? And if you don't know that, maybe you should reveal your unkindness and your wickedness to your God and see what he does with it. But we know, don't we, those who hear, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Offer what you have received, even though it makes no sense. And by the way, you cannot do it by yourself. You can only love like Christ when you are Christ-like, and you can only be Christ-like when you live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit that indwells you for that life. And that is the life we are called to. That is the lesson Jesus is giving. That is why it's just so, we can't even comprehend it. And even more difficult to comprehend living in this world where the response is perfectly okay to say, I will tolerate that. Wow, how wonderful of us that we're tolerant. Doesn't sound loving to me. When someone offends and we build up a team to go against them, to push them down so we can stand on them and cancel them from society because they are flawed, broken and sinful, and their wickedness came through. That's not love. Love is standing strong, knowing we are loved, and standing in the midst of it with the one who is persecuting and attacking and stealing and doing all of the things that Jesus describes, and to stand with them and say, there's more. Because just like you and I, they have been created in the image of God. And by the Holy Spirit, God will indwell them also. And as we are called to be loving as he is loving, and we are his church and the ones that hear, he is crying out to us in this lesson to say, I know this is too much to comprehend on your own, but I tell you, do it anyway. Because here at Holy Innocence, we've taken this very seriously, and we continually move about our lives and our ministry, holding on to our mission of transforming lives, transforming the world. Amen? Sometimes we change it. I don't know if you've noticed that. Sometimes it says transformed lives, transforming the world, depending on where we're writing it. I never correct it because both are the same. The thing we need to remember is the lives that are transformed first are ours. And when we are transformed by the love of God and move into a place where we can love God, we have the ability through the power of his Holy Spirit to look at someone who is behaving in such a way, our primary reflection on it is, bless your heart. God's precious children. That's our first response, which just is giving ourselves permission not to deal with what's in front of us, amen? But God says something different, brothers and sisters, and when we function in his love, and we love like him, we see the actions of the person, and then his love will move those actions aside, and then we begin to see the heart, the broken, damaged, wicked heart that is in need of healing. And when we move in that, God will empower us and give us his words in those moments to speak to that broken, damaged heart. And that is where a transformed life transforms the world. And when we can do that, brothers and sisters, when we step into those moments, when we think we're literally going into the lion's den, we can step in there with the love of God and see the brokenness and see the wound. And that is an opportunity for us, in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to take that person in our arms and whisper to them, "Bless your heart, precious child of God. Precious child of God."